This podcast series discusses 21st century competencies in foreign language teacher education in seven European universities. The series is funded under the Erasmus Plus program and it is part of the project CONNECTED, which stands for Coherence in European Teacher Education, creating transnational communities of practice through virtual scenarios. Each episode in this podcast series focuses on one 21st century competence in the local context of one or two of the seven partner universities across Europe.
Welcome to this podcast where we'll discuss differentiation in foreign language education. This podcast is part of the resources that are created in the Erasmus Plus project CONNECTED with seven European universities. My name is Miira Häkkinen. I work as a project researcher at the University of Turku, Finland. And with me today, I have university lecturer Anssi Roiha, also from the University of Turku. Please, Anssi, would you still introduce yourself and tell about your professional background?
Yes, first of all, thank you for inviting me. My name is Anssi Roiha. I work as a university lecturer in foreign language didactics at the University of Turku at the Department of Teacher Education. And before my career in tertiary education, I actually worked as a teacher, first 5 years in Finland as a special class teacher, and then 2 years in the Netherlands, as an IB school teacher.
Very interesting. Welcome, Anssi. Thank you for joining me here today. And our topic is differentiation in foreign language didactics. But what is differentiation? How would you define it?
Yeah, that is an excellent question. And first of all, there isn't like one single definition of differentiation. There are different schools of thought. And it can be approached in a more narrow way, which is often the case. And in that case, it is associated with ability levels often, or it is just assumed to be these kind of mechanical teaching practices, or then it's considered to be a reactive approach where you start to differentiate only when sort of challenges emerge. But if you look at it in a more holistic way, then it is sort of defined as this kind of a holistic teaching approach that sort of transcends all teaching and is sort of informs your whole planning and how you implement the teaching and also assessment. And approaching it that way, it also extends to sort of pupils' interests and learning styles. It is also a proactive approach. So you preemptively think of the pupils' characteristics and you plan your teaching in a way that sort of those kind of learning challenges wouldn't manifest in the learning.
I see. Sounds very interesting. First of all, rather complex, but also really important. Then on to another concept, and this is particularly important for the CONNECTED project, namely coherence in education. How would you describe this coherence in your field, in foreign language didactics?
Yes, thank you. That is also a very good question. And similar to differentiation, I think coherence is also a concept that can be approached through different perspectives. One is this conceptual coherence, which means that, for example, that there is an appropriate combination of theory and practice, which we aim to do at our university when we educate future language teachers. So we look at theories and always connect it to practice. So if we take differentiation as an example, so we first go through the theoretical notions that underpin differentiation, and then we really focus on how we can actually implement that in practice. Another approach to coherence is this interdisciplinarity, so where you look at different phenomena through different disciplines. And I think this is very easy to do in foreign language education since it relies on different disciplines already inherently, for instance, applied linguistics and educational sciences.
Excellent. Really research-informed teacher education then. Very good. Now, returning again to the theme of differentiation, why would you say differentiation is important in foreign language education?
Yeah, it has been studied quite a lot, quite extensively, particularly in recent years. And there are several meta-analysis that support its use that have found that it's beneficial to learners, first of all with regard to their learning, but also there are studies that indicate that it's also a beneficial approach for the student's motivation or this kind of self-concept, so these affective features in a sense.
Oh, yeah, indeed. I now understand the importance. You have worked on differentiation for over 10 years, and you have developed this five-dimensional model of differentiation. That's quite interesting. How would you describe this model, its different dimensions?
In the model are teaching arrangements, learning environment, teaching methods, support materials, and assessment. And the idea is that sort of progresses from general to specific. First, it starts with the teaching arrangements and learning environment, which are more macro-level differentiation dimensions. And then it proceeds to more micro-level dimensions, which are teaching methods, support materials. And the 5D model is based on the idea that assessment can only be done reliably when the differentiation is in place in all the above dimensions. So only when the student's learning is supported with teaching appropriate teaching methods or support materials, they can be assessed in a reliable way with a variety of means, differentiated means as well. And one feature of the 5D model is the importance of knowing one's students. So that's the basis of all differentiation. So each dimension in the model is always informed by the student's individual features, for instance, personality, motivation, history, their preferences or interests.
Very interesting and multidimensional indeed. Now on the micro level, more so, would you say that differentiation is easy or difficult?
Well, it is not an easy task to differentiate, I give you that. And I think teachers around the world feel that differentiation is challenging. The main challenges often cited are large class sizes and time constraints. So teachers feel that there are too many students to differentiate for each learner, and also that there isn't enough time to differentiate.
So some challenges there, all right. Well, how would you then approach differentiation in practice? What could be some examples that teachers could do to differentiate their teaching?
I guess it's important that teachers sort of rely on the broad approach of differentiation, and they where differentiation forms the basis of all their teaching. So it's not just something that they add on to their sort of normal teaching or regular teaching, but it's already sort of the basis of all their planning. And it is quite challenging to tailor teaching for each individual in the classroom, but that's not really the point of differentiation, and this relates to also to the group level differentiation, where you use certain teaching methods already that lend themselves to differentiation. So for instance, project work or presentations are a few examples, so pupils can do those at their own level. Some can produce very advanced products, whereas others remain on a more superficial level. Another way to differentiate is also to offer options to pupils. So instead of giving individual work for everyone, teacher can create 3 learning paths, for instance, with different content and let the pupils choose which they want to complete. And in those paths, the level of difficulty, but also the topics and working styles can vary. I think this kind of approach also activates the learners and engages them in the learning process, and it feeds into self-assessment, which is highly emphasized in the Finnish context.
Thank you. Okay, Anssi, approaching the end of our discussion today, what would be your main message to current and future foreign language teachers?
Well, even if differentiation isn't easy, but it is highly important to differentiate. And I guess we can all agree that we don't all learn the same way, so then we can't teach with just one way, relying on this sort of one-size-fits-all approach. For instance, the Finnish educational context, differentiation considered to be this pedagogical point of departure for all instruction, which means that every teacher should always keep differentiation in mind. And also the differentiation is also a mindset and a way of looking at things. So if you embrace the idea, then you'll also find the way. It's context specific as well. So different practices work in different contexts, and every teacher needs to find the ways that work for their context and their pupils. I guess it's also good to start small. So if it's a new approach to you, maybe just start first from one dimension and gradually build up from there, You can also consult your colleagues, share ideas of good practices, get support. It is also important to mention that differentiation needs resources as well. And this is an important message to all the policymakers. So first of all, it's easier to differentiate if you have human resources or material resources that support differentiation. And maybe finally, I could say that differentiation is also a whole school approach. So if it's something that is also a value that the management level sort of agrees, then it's easier to differentiate as a whole school. So one good way is to also make differentiation a part of every school's mission statements and curricula, and what are the ways that each school approaches differentiation.
Excellent. I love the way you put it, that it's a mindset. That's very describing. Thank you very much, Anssi, for your very interesting and really, really important research, first of all, and your professional experiences leading to this discussion today. To summarize what you have told us, differentiation seems to be a rather complex phenomenon, but at the same time, something that really should be present at all times. So thank you for your wise words.
You're welcome.
And we have learned a lot today, so thank you all for joining us.